Hello, everyone. I'm Aunt Sally.
And I'm Princess Tamalpa.
Please tell us the story of the Nutcracker and the Mouse King, Aunt Sally.
Yeah!
What a great idea, especially since many of our listeners may see the ballet sometime. Now, here is the story of the Nutcracker, based on the Alexandre Dumas version of the story by E.T.A. Hoffman, with music by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, adapted for radio by Gail Wittenmeyer Mills. Once upon a time, in the German town of Nuremberg, there lived a good and wealthy man named Judge Silberhaus. Judge Silberhaus lived in a grand mansion with his loving wife and two handsome children named Fritz and Marie. Now, Fritz and Marie were as different as the prickly holly bush is different from a soft velvet ribbon. Fritz, who was 9, believed the world was made for him, and that people and things were really only around for his own amusement. When things didn't go his way, Fritz would turn red with anger. He'd stamp his feet and scream. If asked to pick up his clothes or put away his toys, Fritz pretended not to hear. On the other hand, Marie, who was 7½, was a kind and responsive child. Grown-ups were often surprised that a child could be so understanding of the feelings of others, and Marie was. Marie was especially kind with her dolls, because she knew they couldn't do anything without her help. Our story starts on Christmas Eve, the great day for giving presents in Germany. Instead of Santa Claus, the children's guardian angels delivered their presents. For Fritz and Marie, not only did their guardian angels bring presents, but also their godfather, who delighted in making toys and whose name was Dr. Drosselmeyer.
Fritz, what do you want your guardian angel to bring you?
I don't know about my guardian angel, but I asked Godfather Drosselmeyer for an army of soldiers that really march and ride horses and shoot cannons and...
Do you like Godfather Drosselmeyer, Fritz?
Sure, don't you?
Yes, but sometimes he looks so frightening with his body all stooped over and his face as wrinkled as an old apple and that black patch over his eye and that strange white wig he's so careful about. And when he wears his black cape, he looks like a witch.
Oh, I used to be afraid of him, but that was when I was just a little kid. Now I like to go to his workshop and see how he makes all his toys move.
Tell me again what his shop is like. Does he use magic?
Sure, but he wouldn't show me that part. What I saw was a room full of shining coils and springs and notched wheels he calls gears. He had a whole drawer full of keys and a closet full of wood and paint and brushes. And
oh, I wonder what Godfather Drosselmeyer has made for us tonight.
Just as Marie was finishing speaking, the children heard the long-awaited sound of sleigh bells. Fritz leaped up and ran to the door, beating the butler to the opening. In came aunts and uncles and cousins from all over Nuremberg, for Judge Silberhaus always invited the whole family to his house for Christmas Eve. The adults were allowed to enter the sitting room where the judge and his wife were decorating, but the children had to stay in the dining room with Hannah, the governess. Oh, what a long and tiresome wait! No one wanted to play games or listen to Hannah's stories. They were too excited. Pretty soon, one by one, Fritz, Marie, and all their cousins began trying to through the sitting room door. And all of a sudden, quite by accident, I'm sure, someone hit the door latch, the sitting room door flew open, and the children tumbled in.
What's this? Why, do come in, children. We were just about to call you.
Come, children. See what your guardian angels have sent you.
Ooh,
look at the tree.
Look at the tree.
Look at the toys. Ah. Here's one with my name on it. Wow! Soldiers with horses and cannons!
That's wonderful, Fritz. Just what you wanted. And look at my present. Isn't it beautiful?
Marie held out a doll with a real china face and eyes that opened and shut. The doll's hair was auburn brown and hung in ringlets about her shoulders. Her cheeks and lips were painted a rosy red, and her mouth was open just enough to show 4 small white teeth. She wore a dress of red velvet with white fur at the collars and cuffs, and on her feet were real black leather button-up shoes.
Oh, what's her name?
I shall call her, now let me see. It must be a most beautiful name, like a queen's or a fairy's. I know, she shall be called Miss Clare. Do you like that name, Fred?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You sure do like those soldiers.
Yeah, look at this one with his red jacket and real sword.
Ouch, that sword's sharp.
Sure, what'd you expect?
Just then, Mrs. Silverhouse came over to see how her two children liked their presents.
My, what a lovely doll, Marie. Your guardian angel surely knew what you wanted for Christmas. But, child, your finger is bleeding. Here, I'll press it with my handkerchief while you tell me what happened.
I cut it on Fritz's sword.
Fritz's sword? Fritz, what sword is your sister talking about?
Aw, just this little one on one of my soldiers. She's too little to know how to handle such things.
So are you, young man, especially with all the young cousins here tonight. We'll put away all swords until morning.
With that, Mrs. Silverhouse gathered up all the little swords from Fritz's soldiers and put them in the toy cupboard. Fritz's face was turning red with anger, and he was just about to stamp his foot when in strode, of all people, Godfather Drosselmeyer. He wore his black cape, and out of his withered face his one good eye glared at Fritz. Fritz brought down his foot very quietly.
Merry Christmas, Godfather Drosselmeyer.
Merry Christmas, Fritz. Merry Christmas, children.
Merry Christmas, Godfather Drosselmeyer.
Would you like to see what I've made for you this Christmas?
Yes!
Oh, come along, then. Come along into the dining room. I set it up in here. Magnificent.
Charming. Simply charming.
What is it?
What kind of a question is that, Fritz? You can see it's a toy castle, and a magnificent one at that. Look at all the real glass windows that open and close, and see here, look at this staircase winding up inside the tower. Why, there's even a person on the stairs. Magnificent.
I know it's a toy castle. What I want to know is, what does it do? Godfather Drosselmeyer's toys are always more than they seem to be.
A smart lad! A smart and clever lad! Look, look, look!
As all the guests crowded around the dining room table on which stood the splendid castle, Godfather Drosselmeyer threw a switch located behind the castle wall, and suddenly music began to play, and tiny candles lit up a ballroom inside the castle. There, many little men and women danced to the music. The small figures were beautifully dressed in silks and velvets, brocades, and they moved precisely as if they were alive. But in fact, they were all puppets. At the same time, another puppet, looking very much like Dr. Drosselmeyer himself, with a black cape, white wig, and patch over one eye, went in and out of the front door of the castle as if inviting those outside to come in. The grown-ups were full of questions about the marvelous toy castle, but once the children saw that Dr. Drosselmeyer was not going to let them play with the puppets, nor indeed even touch the castle, they drifted back to their new toys in the sitting room. There they played until the sweet and pungent smells of Christmas dinner pulled them away. It was a quick dinner for the children, for then back they scurried to their toys. When the grown-ups returned to the sitting room, Judge Silverhouse overheard Marie playing near the Christmas tree.
Now, Miss Clare, you sit right under the Christmas tree so no one steps on you. And tonight, when I put you away in the toy cabinet, you'll get to meet Jocko, Miss Belinda, and all my other dolls. Oh, my, who is this next to you? Why, he's quite hidden by the branch. I'll just pull him out by his little black boot. There. What a curious little fellow. You have nothing to fear, Miss Clare. He'll never, never be quite as beautiful as you. In fact, he's quite, unusual looking. I mean, his clothes are nice, but his face is very strange. eyes, Miss Clare, and his fuzzy white beard, and his mouth is most terribly big.
So, Marie, you found a little friend.
Yes, Father, but I don't know to whom he belongs.
He belongs to both you and Fritz. This fellow will help both of you, for, you see, he is a nutcracker.
Oh, Father, show me how he works. Please show me.
First, you open his mouth by pulling up on the stick in back. See all his strong teeth?
Yes.
Well, they're not really very strong, so remember to crack just almonds and walnuts, none of the harder kinds.
I'll remember.
I'll put in an almond. Now, you pull down on the stick, and there you are.
Oh, how wonderful.
What's wonderful? Let me see.
Look at the nutcracker, Fritz. He belongs to both of us. Father showed me how to work them. Shall I get Father to show you?
I've seen these before. I know how they work. See, first you put in a nut.
Not a brazel nut, Fritz. They're too hard. Fritz!
Then you push down on the stick. Let me try that again.
Stop! Stop, Fritz! You'll break him! You're going to break my dear nutcracker!
First up, then down!
Look what you've done! You nasty boy! You've broken him! You've broken him, my poor nutcracker! Give him to me now! Go away!
Aw, if you want him, you can have him. Who wants a nutcracker that can't even crack nuts? On the other hand, give him back to me.
No!
He shall be taught to do his job no matter what. He shall crack every nut in the bowl until he learns how to do it right.
No, no! Go away, Fritz! Go away!
Fritz, can't I visit with my guests for 2 minutes without being interrupted?
Marie, what's the matter, child? You've been crying. Dr. Drosselmeyer, take a look at her. Is she coming down with a cold?
I'm all right, sir, but my poor nutcracker is broken.
Ah, let me see. A few teeth missing, that's all. I'll come by tomorrow with some glue. Until then, let's wrap his chin up like so.
Thank you, Godfather Drosselmeyer. You've made him feel ever so much better.
Yes, yes, yes. Now I must go. It grows very late.
Thank you for coming, Dr. Drosselmeyer. I'll have Hannah get your cape.
Soon all the guests had gone home. Fritz had gone to bed, and likewise his father, the judge. Only Marie and her mother were left in the sitting room.
Marie, I've snuffed all the candles except the ones on the ceiling lamp. It's time for bed, little one.
Please, may I stay up just a little longer, Mother? I shan't be too late.
But it's late now, daughter. The grandfather clock has already struck 11.
Please, Mother, I just want to make a special bed for my nutcracker. It won't take me long. Please, please.
Oh, all right, dear. Let me know when you go to bed.
I shall. Oh, thank you, Mother.
The moment Marie found herself alone, she went to her poor little nutcracker, whose jaw was still wrapped up in a handkerchief. Gently she put him on the table and undid the wrap.
Oh, my poor little fellow. Don't be angry because my brother hurt you so much. He didn't really mean to. I'll take care of you, and in a few days, you will be quite well again. As for fixing your teeth and jaw, that is the business of Godfather Drosselmeyer, who perfectly understands things of this kind. What a face you seem to make! Oh, it must have been the flickering of the ceiling lamp. Aren't I a silly one to think a wooden puppet could make faces at me? Come now, let's wrap your poor chin again. There, now it's bed with you. Let's see, Miss Clare, I guess you'll have to give up your bed. You may sleep on the couch tonight. Nutcracker needs the rest and comfort of a good bed to get better. What's that?
4 o'clock about the chime. Tells the Mouse King it is time. Battle long awaited comes. Hide, hide until the sun.
Oh, Nutcracker, oh, Miss Clare, did the clock really speak?
on the top of the clock. Was it you who spoke? Come down here and don't frighten me like that. You naughty godfather. Oh, it's hard to tell what I'm seeing. The ceiling lamp casts so many shadows. Now what's going on? Why, it's mice! Hundreds of mice!
Tiny lights blinked all around the room, from under the sofa and chairs, from behind the sideboard, and from every corner. But the lights were little eyes. In 5 minutes, the mice had arranged themselves in battle order, just as Fritz liked to draw up his toy soldiers.
How cute they are! Oh, he is not cute.
At Marie's feet appeared the king of the mice, with 7 heads, each wearing a golden crown. The mouse army marched towards their king in the toy cupboard where Marie stood. Then, quite by accident, Marie broke one of the panes of glass in the cupboard door with her elbow.
Look how they run! Ooh, ouch! My arm hurts. I guess I'd better go see Mother. My goodness! Now who turned on Godfather's castle? I shall be in trouble if Father finds out.
Get the sword!
Load the cannon!
Get up! The enemy is down!
Now what? The toy cupboard!
Marie turned around. The cupboard was lit up in a wondrous way, and all was bustle within. All the dolls and puppets, teddy bears and soldiers were scrambling about this way and that, bumping into one another in the confusion. Finally, the Nutcracker threw off his blankets and jumped out of bed, shouting,
"Foolish mice! Go back to your holes or you will have me to deal with! Miserable king of the mice, it is you then!"
The mice again formed battle lines with their 7-headed king at the front. The Nutcracker then exhorted all who lived in the toy cupboard.
"Come, my good friends, the hour of battle is upon us. Let those who love me follow me."
"Onward! Hear, hear!
Hear, hear!"
Nutcracker jumped from cupboard to floor, followed by his army of toys. Although they were very brave, the toy army was greatly outnumbered by the mice. Soon only Nutcracker was left to face the horrible Mouse King and his mob. After much fighting, Nutcracker was captured and about to be killed by the Mouse King. Marie could no longer bear to watch.
"Oh, my poor Nutcracker, I love you with all my heart and cannot bear to see you die. Take that, you wicked old mice!"
And with that, Marie hurled one of her shoes at the Mouse King, sending him rolling over into the dust under the sofa. Suddenly, toys and mice disappeared. Marie felt the pain in her arm again and tried to reach an armchair to sit down, but her strength failed her. And she fainted. When Marie awoke, she found herself in her own bed with sun glistening through the frosty windows.
"Morning, Marie."
"Oh, Mother, are all the mice gone? Is the Nutcracker safe?"
"It's all right, darling. You've just had a bad dream."
"But the mice!"
"You were probably frightened by a mouse last night in the sitting room. Common things can be fearful in the half-light. Is that how you cut your arm?"
"Mother, there was a great battle between the toys and the mice. When I saw the king of the mice about to seize my poor Nutcracker, who was in charge of the toys, I threw my shoe at him. After that, I don't know what happened."
"Yes, yes. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, my dear. Now I have someone who would like to see you."
"Godfather Drosselmeyer, why didn't you come down off the clock last night to help my poor Nutcracker? If you had come down, I would not have hurt myself."
"Marie, what are you talking about? I've never heard you speak so to your godfather."
"Tut, tut, Mrs. Silverhouse. Would it be at all possible to visit with a child alone? I've brought the glue, you see, with which to fix her precious Nutcracker."
"Well, of course. Just ring if you need anything." Would you like me to send Fritz up with the nutcracker?
No!
No. I'll be down to fix it. Now away. I have a story to tell this little girl.
All right.
Oh, yes, a story, Godfather.
This is the story of the Krakatuk Nut and Princess Perlipatine. Do you know it?
No. Go on, please.
All right. Near our very city of Nuremberg, there was once a little kingdom wherein ruled a king who loved sausages. One day, this hungry king asked his queen to prepare some homemade sausages for him. The king was so anticipating the savory taste of the sausage that he could hardly stay out of the kitchen. In he'd come for a nibble of this or that, and when the queen whisked him away, he would always say,
"Remember, my dear, it's the fat that counts. The more fat, the tastier the sausage."
To which the queen would reply,
"I know, dear husband. Now out."
Smells of spice and sizzling pork filled the castle, reaching the twitching nose of Dame Soursong, queen of the mice. Scampering onto the kitchen table, she called out to the queen.
"My sister, please give to the queen of the mice a piece of that fat which is smelling so nice. To me a fine dinner is something so rare that I hope of the fat you will give me a share."
"Of course, my little gray friend, here you are."
"A tastier morsel I've not eaten. May I have more?"
"Certainly. How much could one small mice eat?"
Soon, however, it was not just Dame Soursong, but her seven sons, then her relations, and next her friends. Finally, the queen thought the uninvited mice rather rude and called the chef and cook's boys.
"Get them out! They're eating all the fat!"
Indeed, when the sausages were finished and served, the king, after one bite, rolled his eyes toward heaven and fainted right off his throne. When he awakened, all he could whisper was, "Not enough fat." Well, when he heard the story of the mice rudely eating all the fat, the king was furious. He immediately sent to Nuremberg for the famous inventor, Dr. Drosselmeyer. "Get rid of these mice." "Of course, sire." And he did. Dr. Drosselmeyer captured all the mice, all except Dame Soursong. One night, while the queen was again in the kitchen, out crept Dame Soursong, scrambled onto the kitchen table, and made this pronouncement.
"Hear me, O queen! Your husband, without pity, has killed the mice of my fair city. My children have been taken, all for the loss of a piece of bacon. Grieved to anger now has turn. Fear, O queen, a mouse queen spurned. Watch your child."
"You wouldn't hurt dear little Perlipatine, not my baby."
But Dame Soursong just twitched her whiskers and then scurried away through a hole in the wall. From that day on, Princess Perlipatine was guarded by six maids with every hour of the day and all through the night. However, it happened one night that all six maids and all six cats fell asleep at the same time. In the scurried Dame Soursong right up to the side of the cradle.
"The princess!
Oh, no!
Oh, Miles! Quickly! Is she alive?"
"She must be. She's crying."
"She's alive, but look at her face! Her face! Oh, no!
Oh, no! Call the queen!
Call the king!"
What the maid saw was a frightful change in the face of pretty little Perlipatine. Where once was beautiful auburn brown hair, sparkling blue eyes, and a rosebud of a mouth, now appeared a face with bright green eyes, a long pointed nose, a large mouth stretched from ear to ear, white fuzzy hair, and of all things, a white fuzzy beard.
"My baby! Oh, what shall we do? Dame Soursong has put a curse on her!"
It's all Drosselmeyer's fault. He must break the spell or lose his head. So, the king sent for Drosselmeyer. When Drosselmeyer arrived at the castle, the king said, "Cure my daughter or lose your head." Off went the inventor to visit the court astrologer. An astrologer in those days was a person who presumably could tell the future by studying the stars. After much study of the stars and his books on the stars, the court astrologer told Drosselmeyer that the only cure was to find the nut called Krakatuk.
If Princess Perlipatine eats the kernel from the Krakatuk nut, cracked in her presence by a young man who has never shaved but has always worn boots, and if that young man is blindfolded when he gives the princess the kernel, and then steps backward for 7 paces without stumbling, then the princess will return to her former beauty.
Well, where do I find a Krakatuk nut?
I don't know.
Well, what is a Krakatuk nut?
It's the hardest nut in the world to crack. Once long ago, I saw a 48-pounder cannon roll over such a nut without so much as denting the shell. On the other hand, shells dent, or do they just crack?
So began a 15-year-long search for the Krakatuk nut. Drosselmeyer hunted from the North Pole to the Sahara Desert, where I regret to say all his hair fell out because of sunstroke. He looked from the Atlantic Ocean to the China Sea, where I regret to say he lost his right eye from an arrow wound.
Oh, Godfather!
Tut, tut. No interruption. Finally, he returned to Nuremberg, to the home of his brother, Christopher Drosselmeyer, who owned a toy store in that town. After telling his brother of his long but unsuccessful search for the Krakatuk nut and the young man in boots, the inventor picked up his tattered coat and was about to leave. I must go report my failure to the king. Maybe after these 15 years, he's not so angry anymore.
Not so, brother. Why, the king is angrier than ever. His daughter is getting close to marrying age, but no prince will look twice at her. She's so ugly.
Oh, boy. I'm sure to lose my head.
You know, brother, I've been thinking I might be able to help you. I've had a nut here in my shop for years. No one wants to buy it. I even painted gold to try to sell it. I think I put it in one of these drawers here. Now, let me... Yes. And now, a little paint remover. There it is. Now, this is what you've been looking for, huh? See here? There are some Chinese characters. Can you read Chinese?
Let me see. Chris, this is it! This is it!
And now for the young man. Nathaniel, come out here into the shop for a minute. Nathaniel, this is your Uncle Drosselmeyer.
How do you do, Uncle?
Notice his feet. Drosselmeyer, boots, always wanted boots. I thought it a little strange, but his mother humored him. Boots ever since he was born. Now look at his cheek. He's not yet begun to shave. Here is your young man, and there is your nut. I'm sure Nathaniel will help you when he realizes the serious trouble you're in.
But can he crack the Krakatuk? He must do it with his teeth, you know?
He's been cracking nuts with his teeth for years. People who know him call him the Nutcracker. His jaws are strong, but we'll make him stronger with this piece of wood here.
Father, what's all this about?
You want to help your Uncle Drosselmeyer, don't you?
Yes, but...
You'd like to marry the princess, wouldn't you?
Which one?
Perlipatine.
No, thank you.
She's really a beauty, Nathaniel, but under a wicked curse. With your help, her beauty will be restored, and then you'll feel a lucky lad to have her.
What must I do?
With the sturdy stick his father and uncle attached to the back of his neck and connected to his jaw, Nathaniel knew he could crack any nut. Even the Krakatuk. But when he saw Princess Perlipatine, he wasn't sure he wanted to crack the nut and win her as his bride. Her body was so short and squatty that her feet couldn't reach to the ground from where she sat on her throne. But the worst of it was her head, which was twice the size it should have been, with a face that had bright green eyes, a large mouth, pointed nose, and fuzzy white hair and beard. Daniel started to leave, but his father and uncle grabbed him, blindfolded him, and pushed him forward with a nut.
"Well, Drosselmeyer, you've returned at last. And this is the young man, is it? Let's see the famed Crack-a-Tut nut, boy. Uh-huh."
"Please proceed, young man. Crack the nut. Yes. Now, Perlipatine, eat it, child. Good. Oh!"
As soon as the princess had eaten the nut, her unusual form disappeared, and she became a young lady of great beauty. Everyone was quite excited, of course, but Nathaniel knew he had yet to take his 7 steps backward.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
On the last step, who should run under his foot and make him stumble but Dame Sewersong?
3, 4, 5, 6.
On the last step, who should run under his foot and make him stumble but Dame Sewersong? And because he stumbled, the handsome young man was transformed. His legs shriveled, his body shrunk, his eyes turned green, his mouth opened from ear to ear, and he suddenly had white, fuzzy hair and beard.
Just like my nutcracker.
Nathaniel's father and uncle rushed to him in time to hear Dame Sewersong's last words.
"Crack-a-tuck! Crack-a-tuck! Fatal nut so rare! Now I sigh! Now I die! How do they dare? But the Queen of Mice has thousands to back her! My son will punish the wretched nutcracker!"
When the princess saw the unfortunate Nathaniel, she screamed and ordered him out of her sight. Saddened, Nathaniel and his father returned to Nuremberg. His uncle Drosselmeyer, however, visited the court astrologer again, this time to discover a cure for his nephew.
"Three things will change your nephew back again. He must command an army in battle. He must kill Dame Sewersong's son, the Mouse King with the 7 heads. And finally, a beautiful young lady must fall in love with him despite his ugliness."
And that's the story of the Crack-a-Tuck Nuts and Princess Perlipatine. Did you like it, Marie?
It was rather sad, Godfather, and did not seem to have a proper ending.
So be it. Now, I'm off to the sitting room to repair your toy.
He's not a toy. He's a fine soldier. No one believes.
Tut, tut.
When Marie was allowed to get up, she went downstairs to the toy cupboard. There she found not only the glass door repaired, but also her dear Nutcracker. All his teeth were back and the handkerchief removed.
"Oh, see what Godfather Drosselmeyer can do? Dear Nutcracker, please don't make such faces. Godfather told me your story. I know how angry you must be with him for getting you in such a fix. But don't worry. I'll help you all I can, I promise. Somehow your face seems happier now."
That night the moon shone in all its splendor into Marie's bedroom. Marie had been asleep for a while when she thought she heard scratching and short squeaks from the corner of her room.
"Oh dear, the mice are coming again. There, over in the corner, a glimmer like gold, and now red blinking lights. It's the 7-headed Mouse King."
Marie pulled the blankets over her head as the Mouse King danced around the room as if he owned the place.
"Hi, hi, little girl! Give me all your sugar plums and marzipan candy, or I'll eat up your nutcracker!"
Marie took out her Christmas candies from the treasure box next to her bed. Then, her fear turning to anger, she threw them at the prancing mouse.
"Here, take them and get out!"
"Rude, rude, rude! Insolent little I don't like your sugar plums, and I don't like your marzipan candy. Give me all your candy canes and cookies.
No!
Then I'll eat your precious nutcracker. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Here then, take them and be gone.
They just don't make cookies and candy like they used to. You'll just have to give me your picture books and your new pink silk dress.
I will not. You just better get out of here before I throw my shoe at you again.
Well, then, I guess I'll just have to go down and eat the nutcracker after all.
No!
Bye!
Marie jumped out of bed and ran down to the toy cupboard.
Nutcracker! Oh, Nutcracker! The Mouse King has taken all my sugar plums and marzipan candy and all my Christmas candy and cookies. Now he wants my books and my new silk dress. If I'm to stop him from eating you, but he won't stop there. I'd gladly give him what he wants if I thought it would help, but then he just would ask for more.
And what? Are you saying something, Nutcracker?
Dear Miss Silverhouse, excellent friend to me, how grateful I am to you. Do not sacrifice me, your picture books and silk dress. Just get me a sword, a good sword, and I will take care of the rest.
A sword? Yes, I'll go to Fritz.
Fritz? Fritz?
Yes, what is it?
A sword. A sword, Fritz. The Nutcracker needs a good sword right away. Hurry, get up.
A sword? Oh, yeah, sure. Down in the cupboard, third shelf in the back. That's where Mother put all the swords, and just don't stick yourself again or she'll take them away forever.
I'll be careful, thank you. Here's a sharp one, Nutcracker, but do be careful.
I will. Now go back to your room.
Marie sat in her bed listening. Downstairs, she could hear the sound of swords clashing. Then suddenly, a squeak, and then silence.
Dear Mrs. Silverhaus, I have wonderful news for you. Open the door, I entreat you.
Oh, he won! You won, thank goodness.
Yes, with gratitude to you, my dear young lady, I can tell you the vile king of the mice is dead. Will you accept these trophies of victory, trophies offered by the hand of a knight who is devoted to you until death?
The 7 crowns! Why, thank you! I'll put them in my treasure box.
And now come, I want to show you the land where I am prince.
In the night?
Quite certainly, for when it is night in your land, it is day in mine.
Then Nutcracker did a most curious thing. At least in the daylight, Marie would have wondered at it. In the night, she found it quite matter of fact. Nutcracker opened the door to the hall closet where coats were kept, and from the sleeve of Judge Silverhouse's winter coat, Nutcracker pulled a ladder made of cedar wood.
Take my hand, Miss Silverhouse. We'll climb together.
Last thing Marie saw before she took Nutcracker's hand was the Christmas tree in the sitting room looked 3 times as tall as it should have been. Or perhaps, she thought, she was 3 times smaller. Then she took Nutcracker's hand, and away they went.
What a beautiful meadow! It glitters as if it were full of diamonds. Where are we?
We're in the Kingdom of Toys, and this is the sugar field. Come on, though. We have a long way to go and many things to see.
Nutcracker spoke truly. As they followed the path of toasted almonds into the Christmas tree forest, snow began to fall, a magic snow, warm to the touch and sweet to the taste. As if in welcome, the snowflakes danced like pixies around Marie and Nutcracker as the children left the forest, crossed the Orange Juice River and passed Gingerbread Village. Snowflakes continued to dance as the children rowed a seashell boat across a river that smelled like roses, and then walked through an orchard where every fruit in the world was growing.
These trees, their branches are so full of fruit they nearly touch the ground.
Yes, beyond this is the capital.
The capital?
Yes, the capital of Toyland, the royal city of Confiturenburg. That's where I lived before I came to your house, and that's where I shall return to rule as soon as Dame Sorason's curse is broken. There, do you see the castle?
As Marie stepped out from the trees, she saw before her, rising out of a field of red tulips, the towers and walls of a mighty castle.
It's not gray and dark like the castles I'm used to. Your castle sparkles. First red, then yellow, now green and blue.
That's because it's made of spun sugar.
Who's this lovely woman floating toward us? Her hair is deep purple, and her fluffy dress keeps changing colors. Pink, red, purple. Now it's pink again. It's like a cloud being touched by the setting sun.
That's the Sugar Plum Fairy. She cares for Toyland while I'm away.
Welcome, dear Prince and Miss Silverhouse. We heard you were coming and have prepared a great celebration. Come, all is ready. Marie and Nutcracker followed the Sugar Plum Fairy into the glistening castle, where dolls and teddy bears, toy soldiers and puppets all cheered their arrival. Then all entered an enormous hall where Marie and Nutcracker sat on thrones of peppermint. One by one, delicious foods from faraway lands were brought to them. First came chocolate from Spain, carried on a tray by a Spanish dancer, who, after setting down the tray before Nutcracker and Marie, began to dance, clicking her castanets and turning around so quickly her black skirt spun out, showing her beautiful red lace underskirt. Round and round she twirled, and then bowed out, as in came coffee and dates from Arabia. The Arabian dancer wore different colored veils around her head and face. Her pants were baggy, but pulled tightly to her ankles, and her bodice was so covered with jewels that it sparkled like water in the sunlight. Slowly she danced up to the thrones, slowly so the coffee wouldn't spill. Then slowly she danced away, her arms and legs moving like the shifting sands of her desert country. When Marie looked at her, all she could see were two dark, mysterious eyes between the veils covering the dancer's face. Then slowly the dancer bowed out as in came tea and almond cookies from China. Two Chinese dolls with round wooden heads that bobbed as they walked came in with a tray of cookies and a pot of tea. Putting down the teapot, one scurried out and came back with cups. They bowed respectfully and then wasted no time leaving, as in bounded the Russian dancers. Leaping and jumping in a most energetic dance Marie had seen yet, the dancers brought her baskets of candy canes, then proceeded to do cartwheels, high leaps, and somersaults in the air. Then, in contrast to such energy, in came the gentle shepherds, who brought warm wool coats and sweaters for Marie to wear. Following them came their sheep, who began to dance to the tunes the shepherds played on flutes and horns. Finally in came, round as a pumpkin, Old Mother Goose. She waddled right up to Marie, and then, as if she lost her balance, waddled backward, and then forwards as if she were stumbling, then backward again.
Why does she move so strangely, Nutcracker?
That's why.
Oh, my! Children are coming out from under her skirt. There's Little Bo Peep and Tom Tom, the Piper's son. There's Jack B. Nimble and Little Boy Blue.
There's Jack and Jill and Peter Piper, Little Jack Horner and Georgie Porgy.
Yes, yes, how wonderful!
Marie was truly full of wonder at the glorious and funny sights dancing before her eyes, the melodious music flowing into her ears, and the taste treat tickling her tongue. As Mother Goose gathered her children and waddled off, in came something else, even more amazing. Dancing flowers. Tall purple tulips, bright red roses, and stately iris. Sweet Alyssum and Sweet William. Violets, pansies, petunias, and primroses.
This is more amazing than a dream.
On they came, daisies, daffodils, and narcissus. Row upon row of waltzing flowers, twirling and bowing before Nutcracker and Marie. Then they too were gone.
Oh, look! It's the Sugar Plum Fairy and a gallant knight. How beautifully they dance.
Marie sighed and imagined it was she and Nutcracker dancing around and around. And then suddenly it was she dancing with her beloved Nutcracker, except he was no longer the Nutcracker, but a handsome prince. Round and round they danced across the ballroom floor until it seemed they were flying. Marie no longer saw the people in the hall. All was a blur. Then suddenly they were dancing in the clouds, higher and higher still, when suddenly Marie fell from a height she could not measure. Over and over again, it seemed, she fell. Until finally, she awoke.
Oh, where am I?
Marie?
Mother, why am I in my own bed? The sun is shining through the windows as if it were in the middle of the day.
You were sleeping so soundly, I thought it best not to waken you. How's your arm?
Fine. Oh, Mother, I wasn't sleeping at all. I went to Toyland with Nutcracker. He took me to the royal city of Konfurturmburg, where he's prince, and will be king as soon as the mouse curse is broken. He has a castle of many colors which the Sugar Plum Fairy watches, and it smells like coffee and chocolate and flowers dancing.
Marie. You've had a very long and charming dream, but now that you're awake, you must forget it all and come and have your breakfast, dear.
Yes, ma'am.
But Marie could not forget Toyland and the wonders she had seen there. She would often dream that the Sugar Plum Fairy came to visit. The fairy would tiptoe into her dreams, bringing her lemon drops and chocolate, telling her little stories about funny things that went on in Konfurturmburg. Always mentioning how the people there missed their prince and hoped one day a beautiful woman would fall in love with him despite his strange appearance and break Dame Sourison's spell. Then the fairy would take Marie's hands and together they would dance until the first sun peeked in the window. Then the fairy would disappear to reappear another night.
Hello, Marie.
Sugar Plum Fairy, what do you have for me tonight?
Sugar cookies and chocolate drops and the story of the Great Mogul and the Mighty Sultan. The Great Mogul is the king of lands east of Toyland, while the Mighty Sultan is king of lands to the south. They're great enemies and never visit our kingdom at the same time. But yesterday they did, right by the whipped cream fountain. Naturally, when they began a whipped cream battle, everyone ran helter-skelter looking for shelter. Dolls ran into gingerbread men, silver soldiers stepped on flowers, and all was a muddle until Miss Claire finally stood atop Sponge Cake Tower and rang the silver bell of peace.
There must have been whipped cream everywhere. What a mess!
It was. Until the snow fell, turning all the whipped cream to ice cream, which of course meant the ice cream clowns could come for a visit.
Of course.
Shall we dance?
Oh, yes.
So they danced until morning. 10 years passed,
Although Marie did not have time to play with her dolls as much as before, she always found time to visit with Nutcracker. She would often sit by the toy cupboard and talk with him. One such day, her godfather Drosselmeyer was in the sitting room repairing the clock. Marie, sitting by the cupboard, was talking quietly to the Nutcracker.
Dear Nutcracker, here I am, almost 18, and still talking to a doll. Fritz teases me about it, but I don't care. If you were really alive and not just a puppet, as Father says, I wouldn't tell you to go away as Princess Perlipatine did, for I love you dearly.
Marie?
Yes, Mother?
Come here, please. We have a guest for dinner I'd like you to meet.
Yes, ma'am.
Marie, I'd like to introduce Nathaniel Drosselmeyer, your godfather's nephew.
There he stood. Marie could hardly believe her eyes. It was the handsome prince of Toyland, the one she had danced with so many years before. Marie could only stare as her cheeks blushed from pink to red, but young Drosselmeyer took her hand.
How do you do, Miss Silverhouse?
Very well, thank you.
Here are some gifts I hope you'll enjoy.
Silver soldiers, marzipan shepherds, chocolate drops, sugar plums. Oh, yes, well, thank you very much.
After dinner, Nathaniel invited Marie to speak with him privately in the sitting room. As soon as they were alone, Nathaniel knelt on one knee before her.
My dear Miss Silverhouse, I am Nathaniel Drosselmeyer, whose life you have saved on this spot 3 times. First with your shoe, then with a sword borrowed from your brother, and finally with your declaration of love. Will you marry me and return to the royal city of Comfiturenburg to reign as my queen over the kingdom of Troy?
You are a lovable and good king, and as you have indeed a delightful kingdom adorned with magnificent palaces and very happy subjects, I accept you as my future husband, providing my parents agree.
Which of course they did, and Marie and Nathaniel left in a coach of seashells, drawn through the air by swans. Even now, Marie is still queen of that beautiful country where may be seen the forest of Christmas, the rivers of orange juice, the castle of sugar shining on a field of tulips. In a word, all kinds of miraculous and wonderful things may be seen there by those who have eyes sharp enough to discover them.
What a wonderful story, Aunt Sally. I want to see the Nutcracker.
Me too. It's a beautiful ballet, but first let's close the story shop.
Good idea.
Goodbye, listeners. Tune in next week, same time, same station, for the story shop.
Bye.
Bye.